Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of our Acts series. But today's an exciting day because it's not just our Acts series, it's also Grad Sunday. And we all know this year has been a challenging year for all of us. But I think it's especially been challenging for all of our graduates because they've been looking at all the students ahead of them every year that have gotten to do all these fun grad things, senior year things that they just haven't been able to do. So we acknowledge that all of our graduates, your achievements, your dedication, these things are worth celebrating. So today we want to take a little bit of time to honor you and to celebrate with you. I was able to get out to some houses this week and visit some of our graduates, and we have a bit of a video of some of them telling us about what they're doing in the future. Let's take a look at it right now. So isn't that great to see what our graduates are doing? Now, not all of them were able to get into a video this time, but we want to acknowledge each and every one of our graduates. So graduating from high school, we have Megan Roman, Nicole Babs Ashola, Emily Santoso, Sadie McDonald, Taylor McDonald, James Tang, Giuliano Bertolini, Praise Annie Amaka, Ashley Brown, Natalie Cheen, Emma McLaren, and Aaron Zhao. We are so proud of all of you, and wherever you are right now, give them a hand. Just cheer for them wherever you are at home. If a graduate is in your home, give them a high five, congratulate them. We are so proud of you. We also want to take a second to acknowledge our post-secondary graduates. And graduating from the University of Toronto, we have Tony Chi. Graduating from SFU with a degree in criminology and a certificate in forensic science, Caitlin Trim. And graduating with a master's degree from Trinity Western University, Tiffany Yu. Congratulations to all of our graduates. We are so proud of you. We stand with you. We are in your corner cheering and praying for you as you enter into the next phase of your life, whatever that may be. We are so proud of you. And I also have a gift for each one of you. And if you haven't received one yet, just make a note that you're going to be getting a visit from someone in the next week or so to drop off a gift at your home. We are so proud of you. And would you all join me in praying for our graduates? Heavenly Father, we thank you for every one of our graduates. We pray a blessing over them as they step out into whatever is next for them. I pray that you would go before them, ordering their steps, giving them wisdom, courage, and faith as you lead them and guide them. Teach them to honor you in all that they do. I pray that in whatever it is they are doing, they would seek to do it to the best of their abilities to worship you. I pray that they would not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of their minds so that they will be able to discern your good and perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are in the middle of our Acts series, and we've been looking at how the Holy Spirit has empowered the church, the early church, to grow. And we've seen that there are lessons in there for us today. It's not just telling us what happened, but it's giving us a guide to show us what we can do as well as a church. And last week, Pastor Mark took us through chapters in and around Acts 18 to 20, dealing with some of Paul's missionary journeys and how Paul shared the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God. And that is what we are called to do as well. Today, I want to take us back to another chapter, Acts 17, just before where Mark started. And this is where Luke records where Paul ministered in Thessalonica, in Berea, and in Athens. And all of these were major cities in the areas where Paul was visiting. He tended to visit some major cities to share the gospel in these areas. And so one of those cities, the first one was Thessalonica, which was an ancient city that was experiencing a huge resurgence. So it was actually a very important city in the Roman Empire, in its region. And Paul entered into the city, and even though he was an apostle to the Gentiles, every time he entered into a city, he would first go to any Jewish people in the city. And Thessalonica was a large enough city that it had its own synagogue. And in Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, we read this: "As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. 'This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah,' Paul said." So as Paul goes into these cities, he spends time, and not just one day, but three Sabbath days. That's three separate Saturdays that he spent in the synagogue preaching to the Jews, not just preaching, but reasoning with them, talking with them, teaching them from the scriptures. These were people who had at least a basic understanding of the Bible. He was a teacher, and we can be teachers too. So the first lesson that we can learn from Paul's missionary journeys in Acts chapter 17 is to be a teacher. There are so many people in our world today who have a basic understanding of the Bible, generally because they were raised in church, and maybe they walked away, or maybe they're still in church, but they're confused, and they don't quite know that they're confused. They don't have things quite right. Well, that's where we can come along and help them if we can have a little bit of a better understanding of Scripture. We can help them understand it a little more clearly. This last couple of weeks, I've had the pleasure of meeting with a young man who, he's only 18 years old, but he has a hunger to study Scripture, but also a heart to help people understand Scripture better. And as we were talking, the topic came up that he was dealing with a friend who had some stuff in the Bible backwards, had some stuff kind of messed up, and didn't have quite the right view. And the conclusion that both of us came to as we talked was that you've got to take him to the Scriptures and show him the truth. And that is something that we are called to do as followers of Christ, to show people the truth, and to not just use our own cleverness or our own ideas, but to use the Scriptures. So be a teacher, but be a teacher of the Scriptures. And the result of Paul sharing from the Scriptures and reasoning with them and taking time with them was that some believed. Some of them were Jewish, some of them were Greek, and some of them were prominent members of an important city. But some got angry. They rounded up people and caused a mob to riot in the city. And essentially, Paul and his companions had to sneak away at night to get away from them because things all of a sudden were going very badly. Paul and his traveling companions wanted to spend more time in that city, but they had to flee Thessalonica in the night for their own safety. But they didn't go too far. They went somewhere between here and Squamish, not literally here in Squamish, but about that distance from our church to Squamish, maybe a little bit further. But they went to a different city, not Squamish. They went to a city called Berea. And while he was in that city, Paul did the same thing that he always did. He went in to the synagogue to teach, to reason, and to use the Scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. But the Bereans were different from the Thessalonians. Things were happening a lot quicker, and things were a little more interesting, actually. We read in Acts 17, verse 11, "The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." You see, they would listen to Paul on the Sabbath, and then they'd go home, and they'd take out their scriptures and they'd read them. And they'd read them and they'd examine them to see if what Paul said was the truth. They weren't taking his word for it. They were not taking his word for it. They were actually taking time to study. They were students of the word. And if we're going to be teachers of the word, we need to be students of the word. So be a student. Today we have so much access to a lot of great teaching, but we also have the same amount of access to a lot of bad teaching. And sometimes it's hard to know the difference between good teaching and bad teaching because bad teaching sometimes is just a little off. But the problem is that little off can throw you on a course that goes way in the wrong direction and leads you away from the true Jesus. So we shouldn't just take people's word for it when we hear what they have to say. We should hold up scripture to what they have to say. If they are quoting from a passage, go to that passage and see if that's what the passage actually said. Because what people do oftentimes is you can take one verse and you can make it say whatever you want if you take it out of context. But what we need to do as students is to read everything in context. All that means is find the passage and read all around it. Don't just read the one little passage, but read all around it to figure out how it fits in to what's being written. If it's from an epistle, they're pretty short. It's a good idea to read the whole thing because that will give you a clear idea of the whole argument or the whole theme of that epistle, and it'll help us understand what the scripture is and maybe help us untwist things if they get twisted. We should always be willing to hold up what someone says to scripture so that we don't just take their word for it, because the only word that we should take is the word of God revealed to us in the Bible. So be a student. So the result in Berea was that many became followers of Christ. But the Thessalonians, who were not that far away, heard what was going on in Berea. And they went down to that city to cause a problem. And they stirred up the crowds again. And Paul is forced to leave. But he's not just forced to leave with his traveling companions. He separates from them. And he goes off on his own to Athens. Now, Athens is definitely the most famous city on this list of cities that Paul visits. And it was a hub of culture and intellectualism in the ancient world. It had amazing architecture, tons of academies. It was an amazing city, but at this point, it was past its prime. It was a city in decline. And I think we've all been to cities like that where, or a neighborhood that was once a vibrant place and now it's kind of, maybe not all done, but it's kind of going on the downhill. That's what was going on in Athens at this time. But it was still a city that was resting on its reputation as a hub of culture and a hub of academics in the ancient world. And Paul wandered through this city. He spent time there looking around. But what he saw was that the city was filled with many pagan temples. The city also had a lot of philosophy students there because that was a hub of philosophy. It says that Paul was troubled by what he saw in the city of Athens. Now today we can look around and be troubled by what we see in our culture. It can affect us to our soul to the point where we can be tempted to write off what we see, to write off our culture as too far gone. We could today want to just be like, we got to go somewhere else. But Paul didn't do that. He didn't say, you know what, this place is too far gone. I'm going to a different place. He saw it for what it was, and that is a mission field. And Paul started sharing Jesus, but he did it a little bit differently than he did in Thessalonica and in Berea. He built a bridge. We can be bridge builders as well. You see, Paul looked around and he saw all of these temples. He saw even they had altars to unknown gods. And he saw all these things and he saw his opening. And in Acts 17, verses 22 and 23, Paul stands up in a group of people and he says this, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you're ignorant of the very thing that you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you." Paul used what he knew of the people of Athens to bridge the gap, to speak to them in a way that they could understand, to open the door. And Paul, he preached these words, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Note that he even brings in something from their culture for them to understand. "And therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." That is, turn from what you're doing and follow him. "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." So in this whole thing, Paul didn't use any fancy church words or talk over the heads of the people who were listening. He spoke in a way that they could understand. He opened the door, he bridged the gap, and the result of it was that people wanted to hear more. And the result of people hearing more was that people turned and followed after Jesus. So we can do the same thing. We can build bridges to people. Years ago, I invited a bunch of my coworkers to a church play. And while we were talking afterwards, one of them said this to me. "I loved it. I thought it was so good. I didn't understand it." And I said, "You didn't understand it? What didn't you understand?" She said, "Well, I've never been to church before." See, just as much as there are a lot of people in our world who have an understanding of Scripture, a basic understanding of Scripture that might be off, that needs to be corrected, there are people out there, and a lot of people, and an increasing number of people who have no idea what we're talking about at all. They don't even know what Christmas and Easter are all about. They've never been told. They've never had the opportunity. And it can be tempting for us to judge them for their ignorance instead of building a bridge, explaining to them in plain language what happened at Christmas, what happened at Easter, explaining to them that we all make mistakes, that we're all failures in some way. We all break rules. We all break God's commands. but explaining it to them in that simple way that we've all done something that we know is wrong. And God is perfect, and the standard by which we are judged is not by how well I do or how well someone else does. It's all against us and God. God is the standard of goodness. So no matter how good we are, we're not good enough. And we all deserve punishment for our wrongdoings. But God, being rich in mercy and just, sent Jesus into the world, fully man, fully God, hard to understand, but he entered into the world, took on humanity as a baby, the humblest way he could come into the world. And he lived life as a man, living life perfectly the way that we're supposed to, but are unable to. And then he went willingly to a cross to die in our place. That he, on the cross, he bore our punishment, he bore our wrongdoings, and he died and rose again, proving that he has paid the price for our sins, and that by trusting in his name, that by confessing that we are broken, sinful, or moral failings, that we have failures, and that by trusting in his sacrifice, believing that he is indeed resurrected from the dead, that he is alive, seated in heaven, advocating for us on our behalf, we will be saved. We can explain that to people, but sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes more than one conversation. An author named Greg Kokel, in one of his books, he says, your initial goal should always be to get the next conversation. Because if we see what Paul did here, he gave them essentially the gospel, but there's so much more that could have been said, and they wanted to hear more. The people said, we will hear you again. We want to hear more of this. And like I said, the result of that is that people became Christians. So as we build a bridge, make it your goal to get the next conversation. There's a reoccurring theme that we see throughout these three visits. The first two are fairly obvious. In the city of Thessalonica, Paul preaches, people get mad and stir up a mob, and Paul has to run away. In Berea, Paul preaches, the people in Thessalonica hear about it, get mad, come after him, and he has to flee. And then in Athens, the first time he speaks, before he speaks the passage that we read, he speaks and people go, what is this crazy person talking about? But others thought, we need to hear more from this guy. And then when he finished and he talked about the resurrection from the dead, some of them ridiculed him and said, this guy is nuts. But others believed. It can be so easy to dwell on the negative stuff in there, to see that Paul was forced from one place to the next, and not see the important part. And the important part is that people in every city that he went to believed. You know, when Paul was driven out of Thessalonica, he really didn't know what was going to happen with that city. He hadn't been there as long as he had hoped, and the church there was small, and he was afraid. But we learn from the book of 1 Thessalonians this. Paul says, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. In all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Be encouraged. Be encouraged by the fact that people continue to come to Christ. Today, it can be so easy to look out at what we see, especially in our area of the world, and see people leaving the faith. We can hear stories of people leaving Christianity, even famous Christians saying they're no longer Christians. We can see those things, and it can be so easy to go, oh no, and be discouraged. This week I had someone call into the church to ask me some questions, and I responded in what I thought was the most loving way possible, but the phone call ended with this person cursing at me and belittling God and then hanging up. Now that unraveled me and kind of threw me off track for the rest of my day, to be perfectly honest. But the thing that I had to remember, even as I was prepping this message, is that there are people like that who are like the Thessalonians that were going to go and stir up trouble wherever Paul went. There are people that are antagonistic towards Christianity, but when we look at the bigger picture, the church is growing. When we look at places outside of the Western world, in the global South and in Asia, the church is exploding. The Holy Spirit is moving. Even in our own city, people continue to come to Christ. As I attended Bible school, there were so many stories of people who were like, I got saved a year ago or 2 years ago, and they're all in their 20s and 30s, and they've come to Christ, and now they want to dedicate as much of their time to learning about him that they gave up all they were doing and went to study his word. There are still people coming to Christ. Even in our own church, there are people coming to Christ all the time. We see new people. I had the pleasure of baptizing someone recently who had recently come to Christ. We need to focus on those stories and be encouraged by the faith that we see growing around us and recognize that the Holy Spirit is still powerful and is still moving in the world today, building his church. So as we go forward, as we move forward, as the church, as all of us called to share the message, the good news of Christ with the world around us, be a teacher. Teach from the scriptures. Be a student. Study those scriptures to make sure you know them and you can't be tricked. Build bridges between us and the people who have never heard about any of this before. And be encouraged. See God move. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your amazing word, the amazing stories that we see in the book of Acts of the boldness and trust that the early church had in you. And I pray that we would take those stories and those lessons and recognize that we can walk out those things in our world today. I pray that we would learn to teach other people about the scriptures, that we would learn to study the scriptures better, that we would learn to build bridges between us and people that have never heard of you, and that we would be encouraged by the good reports that we hear, that we would see where we are today, where you have placed us, is a mission field, and you have placed us in this field to bring the good news to a hurting world. And Lord God, I pray that you would give us the power of the Holy Spirit to go forward and be the church in our city. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.